Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I am with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates and its staff are trusted leaders in adoption, and we have placed over 5,200 children into loving homes. Since 1990, we have advocated, supported, and nurtured both birth families and adoptive families, and helping families grow through the adoption process is important to us. Our offices are located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and mid-Michigan Saginaw area. Our private adoption services are available throughout all of Michigan. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this weekly radio show, so we thank you very much for listening in today, and we hope that you find this forum to be inspirational, educational, and thought-provoking. I am excited today that we are talking a little bit about pregnancy centers and the role of pregnancy centers here in Michigan and how they can be a source of support for women in exploring their options when they're experiencing an unplanned pregnancy. So I would like to welcome to the Adoption Focus podcast today our guest, Jennifer McDonald. Jennifer, I think you're on the line with us already.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you for having me with you.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing a little bit about what you do. And so we're going to just go ahead and dive right in. And I ask you, Jennifer, if you could please start us off today by sharing a little bit about yourself and your organization.
Well, I work at the Blue Water Pregnancy Care Center in Port Huron, Michigan. I started out actually as a volunteer initially, and they shortly thereafter asked me to be the director over 13 years ago. And at first I wasn't very sure about that just because I had really never worked in a nonprofit ministry. And so it was a really big change from kind of the corporate world, and wanted to make sure that I was following the Lord and what He would have me do. And really had a heart for helping young women avoid decisions in their life that would lead them down a road that they weren't really going to be happy about the end result.
Mm-hmm. Such important work, and you've been there for a while, so you must be feeling a good fit where you are.
I really love working at the pregnancy clinic. I love being able to help women that are not sure what to do, or even if they kind of feel like they know what they're doing, really to make sure that they've explored all their options very thoroughly. I know when we get into a panic situation as people, we tend to not look at everything very closely or objectively, and the decision of parenting is a really big decision. I always say it's the most important decision of anyone's life, and so that deserves some time to really look at everything in detail. And I'm excited about what we do at the clinic, and I work with some amazing people.
Oh, those are always the best people to have on your side, right?
They are great.
Are there any particular trends, Jennifer, that you and your staff have noticed over the years as you're working with women, you know, and your counseling and kind of the role that you're playing?
Well, I know that women are choosing life a little bit more. There's still a lot of cultural barriers against adoption, and I think if people really examined the facts about adoption and the end result of adoption, not just for adoptive parents, of course, but even for birth moms and for the babies, I think that more people would choose adoption. They would realize what a great thing it is. And so going back to the trends that we're noticing, you know, a lot of women don't want to be pregnant. And so because abortion is so readily available, now we have the abortion pill, people don't necessarily stop and slow down and consider all the facts before they rush off and make mm-hmm. a rash decision. So, you know, when because I think people, women specifically know that it, deep down, instinctively know that it's a really big decision, and mm-hmm. they kind of go into crisis mode almost right away. We've had clients come in. We were able to get them to come in, but they were going to go have an abortion without even getting a medical pregnancy test first.
Hmm.
So they, you know, they didn't even, maybe they hadn't even done a home test.
Oh, wow.
So we really want to make sure that women are slowing down and looking at everything that they're choosing.
Yeah, and that sounds like that's kind of something that you're really focusing on here. And I hear you saying that rushing too quickly to a decision, regardless of what that decision may be, is maybe one of the issues of concern that you guys are seeing in your work.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is in Port Huron, in St. Clair County, it's well, in rest of the society, it's really not frowned upon to be pregnant or to be a single parent. So a lot of people are choosing single parenting without giving full consideration to that. And there are a lot more financial resources for single parents also
mm-hmm.
that people don't necessarily stop and consider the effects that that maybe having two parents would have on the baby, or what single parenting will really mean for themselves as the birth mom.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So as we talk about this, I'm interested in hearing more about what you see as you begin counseling a woman who's, you know, experiencing an unplanned pregnancy and she's not sure. What is it that you guys are seeing in regards to that?
A lot of them, when they don't want to be pregnant, they're not happy about being pregnant, and
mm-hmm.
they really are looking for a quick fix. And mm-hmm. We have almost two camps of women. One is women that weren't using any kind of protection whatsoever. They would be okay if they're pregnant, even though they know it means single parenting. They weren't really planning on getting pregnant. Sometimes they have a little rose-colored glasses on and that they don't think they'll get pregnant,
mm-hmm.
which is always a surprise to me. But and because sex is designed to reproduce. I mean, at the basic mm-hmm. level, that's what it does. And as they come in and we sit down with them and start talking about all of their options, they, you know, we try really hard to get them to slow down and make sure that that they look at everything. And that's
mm-hmm.
really, really tough to do.
Mm-hmm.
It takes
yeah.
a skilled counselor to do that. And counselors are also afraid of jeopardizing the relationship they have with the client
mm-hmm.
by making maybe appearing as a judging a young woman, or that because they're suggesting adoption as an option that the woman will kind of put up a wall and stop listening. So it does mm-hmm. take a lot of finesse in counseling a young woman.
Mm-hmm. And obviously the message that I think I hear from your organization as well as many others is just making sure women are receiving accurate information and being educated on all of their options. And
mm-hmm.
obviously today we're talking about a lot of different options with our focus being on adoption as an option
mm-hmm.
to an unplanned pregnancy. And, you know, you did mention options earlier in our conversation. And so I kind of want to segue here and hear from you about what the process is like for a woman as she begins exploring those options, what that looks like.
We, at the Blue Water Center, we review all a woman's options. So parenting, what that might look like usually as a single parent or co-parenting, We talk about abortion procedures and the risks. A lot of women don't realize how serious the risks are, and physically or emotionally, they don't really understand the whole process of either the abortion pill. It's not just a one-time pill. There's a series of pills. There's a waiting time. There's longer-term effects that are possible. Same thing with a surgical abortion. There's a lot of long-term emotional risks. There's some long-term possible physical risks for women choosing abortion, and we want them to be aware of that because abortion clinics really have only one thing that they want to do, and that's to sell an abortion to a woman. So they don't really review all the other options. And then we also talk about adoption, because if we don't talk about adoption during the first time we see a young woman, no one else is really going to be talking to her about adoption in all likelihood. We're probably the only ones that will talk about adoption with them in a way that they'll receive accurate information, full information, and we have a lot of obstacles to overcome too with the adoption, because counselors, you know, they have a fear not only of jeopardizing the relationship with the client, but the counselors also have a fear. They have their own misinformation, at least initially, and their own hang-ups about adoption, just like the rest of society does. So sometimes women will, our counselors will struggle with the same things our clients do. They'll think it's an abandonment of their baby when nothing could be further from the truth. It's really about choosing more love for their baby. Our counselors might have a fear of, it might say, I'm a bad mom. And am I saying to the client, she's a bad mom? When in reality, a birth mom that chooses adoption is probably one of the best possible moms out there, because she's putting her baby's needs over her own heartfelt desires. And so we are working on training our counselors to really make sure they get good information and overcome their fears, so then they can start asking good questions of the client and the young woman, and kind of slowing that process down and really dive into what is behind what's going on with the woman. You know, what are what are the young woman's fears about adoption? What does she really know about adoption? And then trying to, that takes a little bit of time to go through all of that. And we actually try not even to say the word adoption in our counseling consultations, because the word adoption has some negative connotations, I think, still. Unfortunately, we actually say choosing another family to raise your baby, and trying to kind of get over that initial wall that would be built where people would stop listening to the questions we're asking or the information we're giving them, and try to start asking the mom, the birth mom, questions about, where do you see yourself in 5 years? You know, what would you like your would you like your baby to be in 5 years? What hopes and dreams do you have for your baby? And then kind of getting into some of those more deep questions that really help to look at the future can help slow her down and really consider the adoption option in a little more friendly light, accurate light. Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, Jennifer, are the women that you are seeing seeking guidance and support from your center, are they aware that private adoption is an option? Are they aware of what open adoption is and what it would mean not only for them but for their baby?
We do talk about the ways that adoption has changed over the years. A lot of adoption now is open or semi-open, and there's so many benefits to the birth mom with choosing adoption for her future. I just statistically, you know, they're more likely to finish their education, follow through with their goals and desires. Not that they can't do that as a single parent, but it does definitely have its own challenges and kind of maybe a different timeline. And so when we talk about the benefits to the birth mom, because a lot of times initially the birth moms are thinking about themselves. They're not necessarily thinking about the best needs for the baby. And we're trying to get her to think about, to show the benefits to her about adoption, and then also then to show the benefits for the baby, because that will address the fear that they have that their baby's not going to be taken care of. You know, those are the two main fears. The baby's not going to be taken care of, and that they're a bad mother, and what will it say to people that she either knows right now or will know in the future when she says, I made an adoption plan, or I chose another family to raise my baby. I really wanted more for my baby than I could do at that time.
Right, right.
And so the adoption, you know, look, talking about the different adoption processes, whether it's open or semi-open. A lot of women really don't choose closed now, to my knowledge. And in a lot of ways, there's pluses and minuses to that. But I think overall, I think it's a good thing that birth moms go through and look at the different adoptive parents that are out there and get to know who they are and then get to choose which parents that they're going to place their baby with. Mm-hmm. Which family they're going to place their baby with. And then also maybe depending on the birth mom and depending on the adoptive family, you know, develop a relationship together where she could be more of a big sister or an aunt or something along those lines. Or maybe just, you know, mommy's really good friend or something. So really depends on the individual families.
Right, exactly. No two adoptions look alike.
No.
Jennifer, what are some of the challenges that you've witnessed for women as they're exploring their options and they're trying to come to a decision about what they're going to do in reference to this baby and this pregnancy? What are some of the challenges that you're seeing?
Well, I think the biggest one is fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of what society might think of her, fear of what her own parents are going to think. I knew a woman whose daughter became pregnant at 15, and she said, well, my grandbaby's not going to be placed for adoption. And I heard the grandmother's heart, too, is that she was looking forward to the day that she would have grandchildren, and she wanted to be an active grandparent. And the cool thing about adoption nowadays is if you're working together with the adoptive family, there's no reason that the biological grandparents couldn't also be involved in that child's life. And who has too many grandparents, right? What baby has too many grandparents? I know I'd love to have like 10 grandmas just making me cookies and all sorts of things. So their fears are a big thing, the fear of their parents, the fear of society, and then their own hopes and desires. And I think a lot of women want children at some point in their life, and so they want, they, you know, it's a baby they're going to love, and they probably even have maybe a story built up in their own minds about their first baby or their second baby and how their family's going to look, not just physically, but emotionally. And when an unplanned pregnancy comes along, that requires an adjustment. And so really taking a step back and looking at, well, what do I want at this, you know, for my future? What does that look like? And to be really specific, maybe even do, I would recommend journaling about what that looks like. And then also, what do I want for my family now or in the future, both maybe? And then, what does that look like for my baby? What do I want for my baby? Do I want two parents? You know, what are the benefits of two parents over a single parent? Not just financially, but emotionally. What did dads bring to the table? You know, what's the benefit to having a dad in a child's life? And their dads are hugely important to their children's life and development.
Absolutely. So, Jennifer, for women who choose adoption, are there any commonalities in terms of their views, their sentiments, perspectives, beliefs that you see for that particular group that do make the adoption decision?
Well, just like people are all different, birth moms are very different also in what they look at. But I would say generally the moms that choose adoption are not teens. They're more mature. They tend to slow down and take a look at their life. And a lot of their motivation is that they really are looking to choose the best family for their baby, whether they think it's themselves or they think it's having two parents. And so I think a lot of birth moms that choose adoption are really looking for a financial stability for their baby, two parents for their baby, and to provide maybe it's just a more stable extended family. Some birth moms don't have a good relationship with their own mother or their own father, or there's a lot of very significant issues in the nuclear family, alcoholism or drugs or criminal behavior, and they want their baby to be out of that environment that they would be exposed to, even though the birth mom's not necessarily participating in those things because mm-hmm. of, you know, the nature of having a maternal grandmother or grandfather or whatever's going on. They want to make sure that their child is protected from those kinds of things.
Sure, sure. And one of the things that we hear at Adoption Associates see, and maybe you do too, is women who are choosing adoption love their babies very much. Their motivation is purely what is best for their baby, and it comes 100% from a place of love.
That is really absolutely true. They love their babies, and just because they make an adoption plan, it's almost like they're saying, I love you more than I love myself, because
absolutely.
I want the very best for you, my baby. And, yes, their motivation is out of selfless love. It's just incredible.
What a beautiful thing.
Birth moms are so brave.
They are indeed. And we are now very close to the end of our show for today, but I did want to ask you, Jennifer, one more thing before we go. I know that you're the guest speaker at an upcoming event, and I wanted to give you an opportunity just to share a little bit about that if you'd like to.
Oh, do you mean Life Matters at the Summit Conference?
Yeah, I think so. I think you were telling me about that off air.
Okay, cool. So at Life Matters Worldwide out of Grand Rapids has a national conference for pregnancy centers in May over on the west side of the state of Michigan, and I'm going to be doing a presentation on adoption for pregnancy centers to make sure they include a very thorough adoption option with every client initial consultation. Because, as I said, even well-meaning Christians, well-educated people don't know all the great things about adoption for the birth mom, for the baby. And so I want to make sure that we really educate our clients on all of their options. And adoption is such a fantastic option. I would actually recommend that most of our clients, not all of them, some of them just need some encouragement, hand-holding, and some education, but a lot of our clients would really I'd really love to encourage them to consider adoption more, because it's such a great thing for the baby, such a great thing for the birth mom.
Thank you so much, Jennifer, for your time today and for being an adoption advocate. And, good luck to you on your upcoming speaking. That sounds like a really fantastic opportunity for you, too.
Thank you. I love what we do, and I'm very grateful for that.
For those of you that are listening that are interested in connecting with Adoption Associates, we would love to hear from you at 800-677-2367. Again, 800-677-2367 or on the web at adoptionassociates.net. Remember that we're live on Tuesdays for additional adoption topics on Adoption Focus Podcast. We also be happy to connect with you through Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram as well. For now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. I hope you all have a fantastic day. Bye-bye.